Greetings. You are now listening to the McAfee Croncast. Stand by for your hosts, Brian Murphy and Doug Bruzzoni. They will be discussing your favorite baseball squadron, the San Francisco Giants. Take it away, Brian and Doug.
The Giants have lost 18 of 27 games coming out of the All-Star break. Buster Posey's back is a mess, and so is the Giants' closing situation. Doug, let's get right into Giants baseball.
Giants baseball. It's magic inside.
It is a plane crash humping a train wreck. At this point, it's safe to say. If you didn't watch any of the games, if you stopped watching the Giants, good. They've gone from just losing all the games. They're into now win, lose, win, lose, win, lose. So they've settled into a nice routine here. But the L's are finding some creative manner of taking place. And we saw that last night where Santiago Casilla had two outs in the ninth inning and hung a curveball so badly that medieval times has banned hanging executions. That's how bad a hanging it was. And so was that metaphor. Doug, what happened? Why are the Giants bad?
So what happened, if I'm remembering yesterday's game correctly, is the Orioles took a 5-0 lead, and the Giants came back, and then I'm not remembering.
You're totally wrong. You're way
totally off. Wrong. Totally wrong. The Giants took a 7-1 lead, and then we all took a nap, and then they lost.
Basically, yeah.
that's what happened.
The week that was featured opening in Miami, which is a tough place for the Giants usually, regardless of the stadium. And the Giants actually won their first, and we can actually say this and be technically correct, they won their first and only series of the second half, taking 2 out of 3 in Miami, including a 1-0 game that was started by Jeff Samardzija. I'm not making this up. And he looked fine. And then they've hosted Baltimore over the weekend. And Baltimore has, basically the same record as the Giants. Now they are one game better. But, the Giants won one of those games and were in a position to win two of those games when, after Friday night, really, if you kind of look at it, like, every Orioles hitter looks like he could hit a home run. And I think every single one of them did at some point in this series. But so the Giants, they won three games this week, and they only lost three games this week. So that is progress, folks.
They're slowly getting better. Give them like 5 more weeks, and they'll be going 4-2.
Give them another season, and they're back on track. The Dodgers lost yesterday, so the Giants maintain somehow are one game ahead. And you're listening to this podcast because you want us to break things down. So, the only thing I could say that's worth breaking down is that Buster Posey's back has been not great for a lot of the season, which speaks to my long-running ridiculous commentary that something's amiss with Buster Posey.
Buster Posey's been having a very good year.
Yes.
Not by tip standards, but by baseball player standards, especially by catcher standards. And he's been doing that with a kind of balky back. So, you hope that he feels better. You hope that he can play on it. It seems like he can. He pinch hit in the ninth yesterday and was intentionally walked because it turns out that facing Denard Span is preferable to facing Buster Posey, which no one saw coming.
Joe Panik and Hunter Pence are both kind of starting to look like baseball players again, are usable baseball players, useful for the Giants anyway. That's really was the result of this series. I'm trying to pull any positives I can out of here. I would say that Matt Cain getting hit really hard against Baltimore, I wrote this in my recap and I'm standing by it, was not a sign of a guy who doesn't belong. It just looked like a guy who was overmatched, and he's the fifth starter. And for whatever reason, it just was not one of those games where I'm like, oh, Matt Cain is toast. He's been really bad this year. There's no question. But I'm going to still subscribe to the line of, like, he's on the mend back to being useful. If Jake Peavy has that start, the Giants probably don't lose 5-2. They probably lose 15-2.
Yeah, I mean, Matt Cain at this point is not someone who you would expect to shut down one of baseball's best offenses, and he didn't. No. So that worked out. the Giants did, and he would have given up more runs, except the Giants turned that bizarre double play when he walked someone, and then, or was it like a ground out? I don't remember exactly what the play was when they got the runners on both second and third who were off the bases.
Oh man, I don't even remember that play. that was 3 days ago, and I have auditions swimming in my head. That's what I spent most of my Sunday doing, was auditioning actors in person. So, I'm trying to remember what inning that even happened in. But
well, not the fifth.
No, not the fifth. But but that's sort of baseball, right? That you have these kind of lucky or, you know, fortuitous bounces. But this was something that's eluded Cain and Peavy almost entirely this year, because they didn't even leave their team in a position to make such plays. Everything's just hit hard. So I would say that, yes, Matt Cain, they had a lot of hard contact against Matt Cain, there's no question. But I would say it wasn't all hard contact. And for that, he gets a gold star.
The star is made of potassium benzoate.
That's bad. yes, that was in the first inning. So, you know, other than that, it was not a great start. It was the old third base, weakly hit to third base. That was the one you're talking about. It's the one you're talking about, right? That Trumbo hit into?
No, I believe it was in the fourth. It was fielder. So Machado hit into a fielder's choice.
There we go.
Out at third, and then it went pitcher, first base, shortstop, third baseman, second baseman for a rundown. And Machado was out at second and trying to advance on a throw.
That's right. Now I vaguely remember that play.
Yeah, if you remember, I did that by memory. I definitely was not looking at baseball reference in Fox.
So that was another highlight of the week for the Giants. I would say that as much as it sounds like I might be homering, being a homer for Matt Cain, I will not be for Jeff Samardzija. I don't think Jeff Samardzija looked tremendously better. I simply think that Bochy got him out of there before things went bad.
That's possible. So I know that Giancarlo Stanton doesn't have good numbers against Samardzija lifetime, but he lucked out a little bit that Stanton wasn't in the lineup, and now it turns out that Stanton's out for the year, which is sad because we all love dingers.
Yes.
Not the ones in Colorado, but other
right,
ones.
Right.
So
nobody likes that dinger.
Nobody likes that dinger. So Samardzija got a little bit lucky that the biggest power throw wasn't there, but he did manage to shut down a decent Marlins lineup. They're okay, right?
They're like Christian Yelich as a player has been really hard for the Giants as an organization to get out.
Yeah.
So the fact that he was moderately successful there, they're an overall decent team, and the Giants have really struggled against good teams in the last 2 months.
So it was encouraging to see him do that, and it was, you know, you say that Samardzija didn't look better, but Bochy got him out of there in time. I think that was encouraging too. That's what Bochy should be doing.
I feel like it's a lot easier for Bochy to do it when it's not one of his guys.
Yeah.
And it has to be, otherwise it has to be a Jake Peavy situation where he's getting shelled 8 games in a row, and then he'll have the quick trigger. But, you know, Samardzija threw 82 pitches in 5 2/3 innings. He had 3 walks, gave up 3 hits, and he had 3 strikeouts. I do not really, watching his stuff, in the podcast that we tried to record last week, and thank you for listening to us after the technical difficulties that came through there. One thing was, you know, he's throwing through the breaks on his breaking ball or something. He's just overthrowing on every pitch. He certainly has the stuff. There's no question about it. But again, I just didn't see a lot of shifting of planes or tilts on his pitches. It just his slider looked it looked like it broke a little bit more than it tended to, a little more consistently in the game, and his fastball was good. And yeah, maybe the Marlins are not a ferocious team, and so it was a good confluence of events. But you know, Bochy got him out of there when there were runners on, and that was the game that we didn't even talk about this. Was this the game that Ron Wotus managed? No, that wasn't. So Bochy got him out of there. Yeah, we can talk about that in a second. But Will Smith came into the game and didn't give up any runs. and that was kind of a minor miracle just based on his first couple of appearances. But in any case, you know, I think a short lease with leash. There's the word. With Samardzija going forward, just it makes sense. And, you know, I think if the Giants essentially have two number five starters in terms of how they treat them, that's going to, in the long run, be a net gain for the Giants. Because number five starters have their uses. Prototypically, they give you those five innings, right? And then anything you get after that is a bonus. And I think the Giants will breathe a sigh of relief if that's what they can get consistently the rest of the season.
Yeah, no, absolutely. I mean, if they can get major league performances out of Kane and Samardzija through the end of the year, I think at this point they would feel very, very lucky.
They're spending a lot of money for very, essentially replacement level performance. But at this point, the Giants are in trouble and they need help somewhere. We're bouncing around through the week, but another major story, Bruce Bochy was hospitalized. He had another issue with his heart. So Ron Wotus managed the game. But I guess the bigger news, is like Bruce Bochy has heart issues, and it's always this reminder of, oh, it's a game, and then, oh, right, life. People live and die. So get well, Bochy, and I'm sorry this team is... I mean, the team is breaking his heart. Let's be clear.
That's true. I mean, he must have been a little bit hurt that Brandon Crawford was so encouraged that Bochy wasn't there. He immediately went out and got seven hits. That's definitely how that happened.
That's absolutely right.
So I
saw some commenter on the site mention that, oh, but if he had just gone like 4-for-6 and one of those hits was a home run, then it wouldn't have gone on so long. That's our old McCovey Chronicles site.
I will say on the podcast that we couldn't record last week, I believe we agreed that Brandon Crawford would get seven hits in a game this week.
Oh, yeah. That was – well, you said seven, and I said six because I said seven's ridiculous. So you were actually spot on there.
Yeah. So we definitely called that.
Yeah. That was 14 innings, and that was just a heck of a way to get that part of the road trip going. a game that went that dragged from day into night, and the Giants, by the way, had a five-run seventh inning to get that game ahead, and then of course they couldn't hold on to that lead either. So that was another questionable Johnny Cueto start. That was a Will Smith blow up that we had kind of referenced. Casilla, Strickland, and Romo had good appearances. And then I think I talked about this on the podcast, but now it bears repeating after another week. George Contos has looked great.
Yeah, he has. He's not, you can tell from the stuff he's never going to be the shutdown, like the spectacular Zach Britton, just for one example. But he's definitely looked like a good major league reliever. Not even, serviceable, not even fine for the Giants, kind of damning with faint praise. He's looked like a good reliever.
Well, he has been since they got him. I mean, right? That's sort of been the luck of that Chris Stewart deal, was that they got someone back who was useful at all, because, in the Benji Molina trade, oh, man, Michael Maine was the one guy, but Chris Ray was the reliever they got. And I remember being kind of excited about Chris Ray, going, like, he's kind of serviceable. And he wasn't really. But, George Contos has been very useful, and he's had a lot of shaky times where you thought, oh, he's done. And to be fair to Brian's criticism voice, he is pitching in garbage time. The Giants are almost always losing when he's pitching. And that was the case over on Friday night against the Orioles. But in this game, this was to get the win in this 14-inning game. And he gave up no hits. He walked one and he struck out two. You know, Contos makes his mistakes, but in the same appearances, he's able to kind of work through those mistakes. So, in other words, he's not Jeff Samardzija. Well, he'll have consecutive bad plate appearances. He's able to kind of, if he makes a mistake in an at-bat, the next hitter, he's not necessarily carrying those mistakes over. Yeah, at least that's what I've seen. He's been very consistent. He's been, you know, basically an average to above average reliever who has not really killed them. And in this bullpen, that's a GD miracle.
It is. I mean, it's kind of weird to say that to be so kind of halting in our praise of George Contos, who has a 2.11 ERA this year.
Right.
But he has seemed like someone who's not as good as that, and especially in big situations. But he's also been there have also been a lot of games that we don't remember where he was really good. So,
yeah, I think it's just he gets those clean innings. He does a nice job. He doesn't tend to create too much trouble or traffic for himself.
Yeah.
But if you bring him in a leverage spot, that's a problem.
That is scary. Yeah.
So, you know, the big news, obviously, is that the butt-ass Giants are alive and well because they're able to lose games in such spectacular fashion. Santiago Casilla, is he going to remain the closer, I think, is the big question of the week. And I would say, well, I'll let you go first, Doug.
I mean, it would seem like he shouldn't. Derek Law has been fantastic this year, and he certainly has been, his roles in the bullpen have been in later and later innings. You know, when he first came up, it was like a sixth or seventh inning. And then lately he's been the eighth inning guy. So it would not be surprising to me to see him be the ninth inning guy. On the other hand, the one thing I do like about Derek Law not being the closer is that he can come in anytime and strike some dude out.
Right.
And that's very important for this bullpen, which doesn't really have that.
I feel like what's going to happen is, I'm going to be totally wrong, but my sense is, knowing the Giants, is that if they make a move right away, it's to Romo again, that they're going to try that one more time. And then if that doesn't happen or doesn't work, which I don't think it would work if they went to it, it's Strickland. Because I think it's going to then be the seniority game. And I think Strickland profiles a little bit more as the closer type. But then I think what is probably the most likely thing to happen, I just don't think Law's going to get there this year. I just don't see it happening. As maybe the eighth inning guy locking in after this, I kind of see that happening. But I feel like people are going to hopscotch. They're going to jump over him. You know, and Bochy's going to play around with the seventh and ninth. And I think Bochy will punt the issue of Casilla and say matchups. Whatever's the best matchup. And so I think if it's not Romo who they turn to, because he's got the experience, they're going to go to Strickland because he throws 95.
Yeah,
and Strickland has looked okay. You know, I don't think it's possible for him to have listen to me jinxing him. I don't think it's possible for him to have survived this long in the season if who he was closer to his NLDS 2014. And we haven't really seen that. He gives up hard contact, and he's not fantastic. But, you know, he's not, oh, I'm going to give up a home run to Bryce Harper every time, or whatever it is. So I think it's Strickland. He just seems more like a closer type. But it just doesn't seem like the Giants' way to make that kind of a change. Casilla is not Armando Benitez.
No, he's not. Casilla has been a good reliever this year in most of his appearances. And, you know, some of his blown saves came as a result of having a lot of one-run leads, which you're going to blow fairly often. But then this one, you know, the one yesterday was such a disaster. And, you know, actually, now that I think about it, it has been so long since he really blew a save. I don't think that will get him out of the role. I think there would have to be another one.
Yeah, I think especially if it happens within the next week.
Yeah.
I can definitely see it then happening there. And, you know, Casilla, this is to his credit, he's been able to turn the page as much as possible, but, you know, I think there were boos at the game yesterday. So that's unusual because Giants fans don't really do that to their own players. And so that could have some sort of an effect. Who knows? But, you know, Casilla in his comments this year has, you know, there's some cracks there.
Yeah, there are.
So I don't know. He's getting a little twitchy, maybe, and he knows what's happening. I think I want to put one more. I want to make one more comment about closers and all that stuff. Isn't it interesting, the male ego? Because I can't speak to female ego, but that one guy is willing to sink an entire team just so he doesn't lose his role. Because he doesn't want to get out of that role. He wants to be the closer, even if it means it hurts his team.
Yeah, no, he relishes being the closer. It the suggestion that he might not be the closer is very hurtful to him.
Right. So it's just very strange because it's like, so you're okay with, as long as you're the closer, that's great. And if the team doesn't make the playoffs because, you know, they lose by three games and you had five key blown saves, let's say, this would qualify as one of those key blown saves. You know, you're okay with that because you kept your job. I don't know. That's a very, very masculine trait, for better or worse. Yeah,
it is.
All right, so let's pick our what is it? Game of the week? Best game? Worst game? Yeah, best game of the week.
All right, best game of the week. I'm gonna go ahead and not pick yesterday.
Hard pass.
I think, you know, it's really tempting to go with the most satisfying win, which was the 14-inning one, but I think just the most flat-out enjoyable game was the Saturday game, Bumgarner just being better than the Orioles, and Panic showing signs of life.
Yeah, I'll co-sign that. The 14-inning game had excitement within it, but it was kind of a bad game. It was kind of, it just took so long, and it just felt bad. Felt gross.
Yeah,
but I think that's fine for us to say because it's, I think, our unanimous player of the week. Am I wrong? Is Brandon Crawford?
No, it has to be.
Yeah, it's Brandon Crawford.
There's no choice.
Yeah. And worst game of the week. I mean, we've been talking about it for most of this podcast, so it's pretty clear. Do we want to throw out any honorable mentions or anything like that? I want to say, again, Angel Pagan, thank you for being consistent.
Yeah. Yeah,
except for your defense yesterday. Otherwise, jeez. But I mean, Wendy Thurm, our friend of the show, she you know, she made a comment about the Giants and how they're, you know, just after yesterday's loss, just like, forget it, just focus on next year. And my comment was, well, they're kind of committed to this team for a while, so it's not going to change very much. These are the players they have. They have to do better. This is it. This is the best they're ever going to be. And she mentioned that Pagan would be leaving. And I didn't respond to this. And I'm not, like, trying to win the argument now here on my show. But I'm just saying, like, well, if you think about Pagan, it's like, well, he's not the problem. Even though his defense is whatever, he's been hitting at least. And he's somehow stayed healthy. So,
right. Yeah, he has. I think Pagan's a good honorable mention. And you know what? I'll just say it again, Joe Panic, for getting back on track.
Oh, yeah, I mean,
that's
if we had to whittle down or just say who we loved, like, right. Derek Law, Joe Panic, Buster Posey, obviously, those are the three.
And then you'd force some out for Matt Duffy.
Oh, yeah, Matt Duffy, who had an inauspicious debut with the Rays, but in any case, he brought us Matt Moore, who's good, and I'm looking forward to more starts with him.
Yeah.
So one thing before we get to your Twitter questions that's important to point out is that the Giants unveiled a new statue in front of AT&T Park this week on Saturday, and that was the statue for Gaylord Perry, Hall of Famer. And if you just stumble on his baseball reference page, you'll see some pretty amazing numbers. I don't know how often you listening to the show ever check out old players' stats. But, like, I'll just throw out, like, complete games. He had back-to-back 29 complete game seasons. Gaylord parried in. I mean, there's a lot of big numbers that are bold emboldened there. I don't have any, you know, he was all before my time. I have no connection to Gaylord Perry. I have no fondness for him, no thoughts about him. Obviously, it's right there, his name. I mean, so that's pretty much about it for him. But if you want to say something about him, that's cool. I'll give you a second. But then I have a bigger question to ask you.
I guess the only thing I have to say about Gaylord Perry is I wrote an article about him in the off season when it was revealed there would be a statue this year about his five best starts for the Giants. And I just want to say there was a game where he threw, which is not as famous as the one Marichal 16-inning game because it wasn't against a future Hall of Famer. But Gaylord Perry did throw 16 innings of scoreless ball in a game once. And the Giants ended up winning it in 22.
Oh, jeez.
Yeah. But that is just an insane performance that you will never see. No one in my lifetime will ever do that.
No.
And it's really remarkable. And that was against a lineup that where every player in it was either a future All-Star or a past All-Star.
That's the part that I like about baseball history. Why it's difficult to compare eras, because I mean it's not even, we're talking about that happening today, why it couldn't or wouldn't, but just the fact that it has happened and just looking at what it is, it's just fun. It's kind of cool to think about in a lot of ways. We have the perspective of history. I'm sure watching that game was not that enjoyable. And by the way, I could totally see the Giants playing a 22 inning game today and losing it. So that's impressive. But now I want to ask the big question. I think the answer is obvious, so I'm going to put a wrinkle in there. I'm going to put two wrinkles in there. What are the next two statues the Giants should create, or, you know, have commission and unveil? And what famous at-bat or game should those poses reference?
Okay.
So the obvious answer for both of us is Bonds. That's right. The next one. Has to happen.
So for me, I think the pose is after he hit 756, he did that like two arms up kind of pure joy kind of thing.
Yeah.
And I think that would be a good one. Like, I know he's dropped his bat and you want to see him holding the bat, but still that sort of celebration of, yeah, that's right, I'm the greatest.
Yeah.
Because he was.
Yeah. Now, this is just for fun, I feel like, but I only have jokes right now. I feel like there are two possibilities for Bonds. First of all, they should have multiple Bonds statues. Because right. Why not? One should be a mechanical one, still bronze, but with some machinery at the bottom, where he pirouetted out of the batter's box against the Dodgers. Or he not pirouetted, he spun around as he ran out of the batter's box against the Dodgers. That one. And then, even though it happened in Florida, I would like to have a picture of him holding a broken bat from that home run.
Yeah.
Because, I mean, his home run off of Chano Park, which was 500, I think, you know, he has had some memorable swings. I think one of his last, maybe it was 72, was against Kevin Mulholland. So it was a knuckleball, and he kind of had a really weird swing where his legs were really wide apart and it was just kind of engulfed it out. He's had a lot of weird good looks, and certainly if we are Giants fans in the Bay Area, we've seen all those home runs replayed over and over again. So he's got a lot of good poses, but those are mine. The other one, Doug, which would be like a trolling one, is a bronze version of him sitting in a recliner in the Giants clubhouse.
Just commemorate that forever.
That's right. So now this is the tricky part for both of us. The second statue.
Let's see. You know what? I'm going to go with a statue because I don't think Jeff Ken is quite big enough to get a statue.
No.
So I'm going to say the next statue would be Buster Posey hugging Madison Bumgarner after the 2014 World Series.
Yeah. You know why that works? It works in a lot of ways. Because it commemorates the first three, is what you could do.
Yeah.
Or, as I like to say, the only three. Was that clear, folks? Let me state
this. Brian, you're terrible.
Only three. Yeah. That's a great one. A Buster Hug statue, essentially.
Yeah.
Would have also just gone with Madison Bumgarner as well. Could you imagine if Pablo Sandoval hadn't worn out his welcome, essentially, and he played for five more years with the Giants? He would have a statue, I think. He was trending in that direction.
I mean, maybe. It's with him, it seems like the statues go to Hall of Famers. And like,
well, I feel like, you know, it's they've got the money.
They do have the money.
But are we saying that Buster Posey and or Madison Bumgarner are Hall of Famers?
I'm not sure.
Yeah.
Not sure.
I mean, let's hope that this year is an aberration for Buster Posey, because if this is the rest of his career, he will be an outstanding Major League Baseball player in the history of the sport, but he may not be a Hall of Famer.
Yeah.
Although, I kind of said that about Carlos Beltran's career as it kind of wound down, and I think the talk is pretty much, yeah, he is a Hall of Famer, which is encouraging. It's great to see. It's great. I love that I was able to turn this into a Carlos Beltran conversation, one of my favorite topics. all right, now let's turn it over to you guys and your topics. Doug, we have any Twitter questions this week?
We do have Twitter questions.
Okay.
The first question came from Joshua Holdridge at JoshHold01. Is the fifth inning of Sunday's game the end of the butt-ass Giants? Brian, I'm going to say no.
How about no? Yeah.
Okay, next question comes from Amber at AMC Bariqua 510. Is the death spiral finally over? Brian, I'm going to say no.
No, that is a no. No, no. It's weird. It's like a death spiral, like you fall, like someone shot you in the head and kicked your body out of a plane. So you're just plummeting, your body is. And on the way down, buzzards are finding you and ripping shreds off your corpse
and then you hit the water, and maybe the last conscious thought is, well, at least now it's over. But it turns out you're actually in the sinkhole. So there's more down to go.
That's right. You're in the, what is it, the Mariana Trench?
So yeah, exactly.
It's going to keep going. All right. Not your best week for questions, Crimecast listeners.
More, I guess.
Okay.
From Juan Barajas at Yay Area 853. Do you see Kane sticking at the five spot, or the Giants replacing him in September with call-ups?
I can
see both of those things.
Yeah.
I think he has the five spot through the end of the month, and then if he's not, you know, if he's not performing by then, and they don't have, well, if he's not performing by then, I would say they'll probably give Peavy another shot. If Peavy doesn't work out, then they can go to Suarez, who will certainly be back. And then if Suarez also doesn't work, then there are several starters the Giants have in AAA who could be good. Ty Block's been great for the last couple months. The closest comp would be Kirk Reeder, but that's kind of selling Block a little short in that he can strike people out sometimes. But he is a lefty whose velocity is not, it's better than Reeder's, but it's not great. And he has very good command control. He's that kind of pitcher, and the Giants love his makeup. So if there's one of the actual prospecty guys who gets a call up and a start, my guess would be it would be Block.
So that sounds like what Adalberto Mejia was supposed to kind of be.
Mejia had more pure stuff, and Block has more command.
I he won't have that his first start, right? He'll be all amped up, and so he won't be good for at least a start or two.
No, exactly.
I agree with that. I mean, I don't see how Peavy finds his way back into the rotation when he's been bad in relief. Just full stop. He's been bad in relief.
Well, I mean, the Giants can make excuses for that, right? It's a role he's not used to. He doesn't have the mentality for it. Right. We want to put him back to be comfortable. That's a very easy thing for the team to do.
Yeah. All right. Any other questions?
Let's see.
We had one from the previous week, which I'll carry over.
Okay, that's a good one.
From at Fred Mercury Vest, the Vest, he or the Vest asks, is there one player that is key to the stretch run for the Giants, or is that a dumb question? That is a dumb question.
It's such a dumb question. Anyway, that was what last week when we said Brandon Crawford would get 7 hits in a game, we said that was in response to that question.
That's right. I can pick out a couple of players I think are going to be... This is, folks, I want you to know that your best guess, like if you sat and thought about it for 5 minutes, is probably going to be as accurate as an expert, quote-unquote, guess. It's baseball. It's, like, really difficult to predict this stuff. you can't say that Bumgarner and Cueto are going to be the key guys down the stretch because they're supposed to be. So if they're not, you're boned. So then you kind of have to figure who are going to be those other guys. I would say that their acquisitions have to be in that, Nunez and Moore have to be, and Will Smith, I guess, they have to really perform at sort of the levels that they were before the Giants got them, because they desperately need that performance going forward. And if we take just a regular Giant, a standard Giant story been on the team, I think it's Buster Posey.
Buster Posey is obviously important. I would say that...
against my own self. Yeah, keep going.
I would say it's also pretty important for Panic and Pence to get back to who they are, which is something that we think we've been starting to see these last few days. So if they can maintain that performance, and honestly, I would say that Panic would even more so than Pence, because the Giants have other outfielders. They don't have anyone else who will play second base at a high level. So that's why my instinct would be more Panic is such a big key. And then on the pitching side, it's tempting to say Matt Cain, but on the other hand, apparently it's Santiago Casilla.
Right.
So,
yeah,
the Giants need good bullpen performances if they're going to keep some of these leads that they are at least getting now. If they're then blowing them, which is not great, but hey, you got to have a lead to blow a lead. That's what I always say.
And so, along those lines, I'm going to actually say Hunter Pence is sort of the current the regular Giants, because he's a dynamic offensive presence. They need the home runs. They need the home runs and doubles power. And he is far more consistent in the power department than Brandon Belt, who is a fantastic player. But that ship has sailed on the dream of 25 to 30 home runs. It's not happening. But with Pence, you still got a chance. Obviously not this year just because of playing time and the way that he plays, leads to injury and whatever. But, he is a dynamic threat. And just he's as close to the Pablo Sandoval bad ball hitter as the Giants have now, and it's just dynamic. That makes him dynamic. And I'll go with you on the closer. If it's not Casilla, whoever is the last guy to be in there, don't be bad, guy.
Don't be bad. This is all we ask.
Yeah. So we ask your questions every week, usually through our new Twitter account at McCroncast. You can also tweet at us. I am at Every Sixth Day.
I am at Moonwalk McFly.
You can also bother at McCoveyCron by asking him for dating advice, or what he wears when he goes to bed at night. Really creepy stuff if you want.
Ask him what he would name a llama if he got one.
That's right. And so we will be back next week. We look forward to your comments down below in the comments section about whatever you are eating for lunch. And don't forget, you can rate us on iTunes, the most popular or best reviewed podcast in iTunes history. That's true.
Like. Yeah.
And don't forget to check us out every day on McCoveyChronicles.com, the number one source for all Giants news. We know stuff before Bruce Bochy, before Bobby Evans does. We're on top of it. So that's where you want to go, and you want to listen to this Croncast. Thanks for listening today and next week. Bye.